Hey y'all, and welcome back to What Would Cherick Do?
A Choose Your Own Adventure podcast.
Chad I'm here.
Oh, well, yeah. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Hey, this is Eric.
Yeah, and I'm interrupting Cal.
Moo. Rude. You rude mooer.
Yeah.
Hey, no, but for real, this is my buddy Chad. I'm Eric.
Welcome back, you guys.
Seriously, yeah, I feel like it's been a long time. It really hasn't been a long time.
But We're at a little bit of a milestone here with this one.
You know what? We really are, man, and it feels good.
I love it.
Episode 10. That's double digits, man.
That's
we're in straight up adolescence right now.
It's huge. It's huge.
The hand gestures really make that right now.
Yeah. It's helpful for people listening.
Oh, yeah. You guys, I wish you could see it. But alas, you just got to listen to us. We're just talking voices. Hello. Hey, anyway.
Hi, okay. Let's get into it. What do you think?
Let's get cooking?
Yeah, I don't know.
Shall we? Hey, so we actually have what seems to be a very fun book for this evening. Or
It's a bit ominous. Like,
it's definitely ominous.
Like, I don't know if it's going to be fun for us, but I hope it's fun for y'all.
I think it's going to be great. I am excited. It's very foreboding, and,
yeah,
it's gonna be really good. Yeah, per usual, we're gonna just read through it, check it out, see what happens, probably die a few times, you know.
There are 23 or something crazy endings in this book.
That's exactly it, 23 endings.
23 endings, we're gonna try to read. Hopefully, you know, I hope we're successful. We live, we win, and we have one ending.
And maybe we'll just one. You only want one. You just want to go all the way through. Perfect.
It'd be good to do that once.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. I'm feeling it.
It'd be good to do that just one time.
Just one time, man. It would, you know, and maybe number 10 will do it, or we'll just have to keep recording until like 72 when we finally have a good run. But so just a little bit about us. I've been reading these books now for a very long time. I grew up reading them when I was a kid. My mom was very supportive of them. They were tons of fun, got me into reading. And I've just always had a passion for them. And so that's why I mentioned this podcast to my buddy Chad. I thought it could be a lot of fun. It's been a while since I've read them, so a lot of them are pretty fresh in my eyes. I was, you know, a wee lad a while ago. But Chad, how did you find out about these books? Or what piqued your interest?
Well, a few years ago, I took sabbatical from work.
Oh, okay.
And I went backpacking down, or up, I should say, the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so I just did it on my own, solo. I needed some time for myself to just recenter, you know, and like find my truth.
That's a radical sabbatical.
Yeah, it was crazy. But along the way, I met this lady.
Uh-huh.
Her name was Agatha.
Uh-huh. Classic.
And she had a few of these books in her pack. You know, that's what she kind of did to entertain herself, like camping by, you know.
I mean, it makes sense, you know. Every night you can find a new ending, and it's always a surprising story.
And you don't want to take a lot of books with right, when you're like backpacking that stuff every day.
Okay.
So you know, she took a couple of these, and she could read them over and over again. And she introduced them to me, and that's really how I grew to love these on my 3-month journey.
Damn.
Up the 3,000-mile-long Appalachian Trail.
All the way. You went all the way.
Yeah. Start to finish, man.
Hot dog, man. I'm glad you're still alive.
Showered twice.
Ah! That's the life. Man, I bet you looked like a burly mountain man by the time you were done.
Oh, I had a beard as long as my arm.
Ah! That's pretty long. I mean, Chad's got some long arms.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Did you go home and say, "Hi, Mom," and she goes, "Wah!" No.
I cleaned up before, you know, at the end of the trail, there was like a lodge, and I kind of cleaned up before I returned to civilization, but
make yourself sexy again.
It was It was, you know, an experience.
It sounds life-changing. Like it was, man. For sure. Well, hey, I'm glad that Agatha introduced you to these books, because that means that we're here together to come together as Cherrick. Oh, we nailed that one. Even like the same tone and everything, dude. We were trying to do some things differently recently, yeah, but we just went classic. Just Cherrick. Perfect. The perfect Cherrick.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my gosh. What a great way to...
to get in.
To get into this book.
We're going to unlock this book, man.
Which one are we reading tonight?
We are reading Choose Your Own Adventure, number 13, Cup of Death. Like, it doesn't get more ominous than that.
You know, like, we've read some doozies.
Yeah.
You know, but none of them were, like, in the title, You're Going to Die.
No? I feel like maybe there was.
Like, you know, you're going to be imprisoned or, like... you know what I mean? Like
True.
You know, but none of them were like...
punishment, earth.
You know, like, you're going to get punished. Yeah. Sure, whatever. And but this
blood on the
like,
handle implies some nasty stuff, but not
to
really...
to other people, death, not us. Right.
Well,
yeah.
I guess that's true. That's fair. Okay, well, so, we'll see how it goes, I guess.
We'll see. And no rule breaking this time, Eric. I mean, I mean
are,
it.
Are you
I'm,
sure?
I'm
you're putting your hand down.
Done with your shenanigans, oh. Where you just go off and break all the rules
that we've set up for the world and for our podcast. Well, I'm sorry, I got a little cavalier last time, Chad. I couldn't help myself.
No more
those dragons.
No more of this rule breaking stuff.
Oh my gosh!
Like a couple eps ago.
Yeah.
I'm done.
back to the basics.
Putting my foot down.
All right. Well, shall we dive in?
Yeah, let's do.
All right. Cup of death. Here we come. And hopefully we don't die.
Taking the sip.
Yikes. From the cup. Taking the sip. That does not sound like it's a good thing, man.
Not at all.
All right. So.
Eric, tell us in detail about every name of every person, place, and thing in the first few pages of this text.
You know what, Chad? Now that I've had so many opportunities to practice how to say them, I'm sure that I will be da bomb. And no, we're not being cryptic at all. I'm terrible at reading all of these Japanese words, guys. It's real.
By the way, we're in Japan. So
this is true.
Let's catch him up.
Shout out
to all our Japanese listeners.
For real, yeah. Yeah. Hello. Konnichiwa. Thank you for listening. That's real, by the way. We have Japanese listeners.
We for real have Japanese listeners. It's amazing.
Okay.
We're international.
That pretty much really means that we've made it.
Yeah, totally.
So we're pretty stoked.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in Japan, and we're on a holiday with our family, but we're also going to school here in Japan, so apparently it's like a long vacation. Maybe our dad's working over here for something, or our mom is doing something with something. You know, you like just something that's not important.
We're American.
Totally American.
In school in Japan.
And it's like a cold, kind of rainy day. We're on break, and we're kind of ready for break to be over because we're kind of bored as all get out. But the phone rings, and we jump up, because we're bored as all get out, and we say, we'll get it, and we answer it, moshi moshi, you know, as we do. And it's our best friend, Kenichi Doi, and he's like, hey, I need you, come here. I'm at the Urasenke Tea Ceremony School, and I need your help. Come over right away. We're like, okay, cool. So we make our way over to the tea school, and we find our friend Kenichi, and he like brings us in into this back ceremony room. It is the UN tea room, and Kenichi and we go inside, and his older brother Takashi is in there, and is so glad that we can come, because he needs help to solve a mystery.
And at this point, me, Chad, totally in, love a good mystery.
Definitely. But we, Cherrick, are like, hey, K, Kenichi might have told you that we can solve mysteries, but the one mystery that we solved that we told him about was really simple because, like, it didn't really use much detective work.
Yeah.
That being said, like, we're totally in, so we're listening. So Takashi tells a story about tea ceremony that he was supposed to be serving tea at for four extremely distinguished guests this morning. But when he came to serve the tea, the tea bowl was missing. And now this is a terribly important tea bowl, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not common. It's a very famous bowl, very old. It's a Shino piece, and it has a name. That's how important it is. It is Yukisu,
ooh,
the tea bowl.
Yeah.
And they kind of describe it. It has grayish blotches on the lip. It looks like snow clouds. And the name Yukisu means it looks like snow, etc., etc. So many years ago, it was made a national treasure in Japan, which was a big deal, and it's on like a list, and they keep track of it, and they watch it, and it can't leave the country. That's how important this tea bowl is. And it's missing, and they can't find it. Takashi has searched the surrounding area, inside, outside, the gardens, everything. He cannot find it. And so we're like,
no bueno.
How much is it worth? Hundreds of dollars in U.S. money, maybe even more on the black market, says Takashi. And that's what he's worried has happened. Like, someone's taking this and they're going to sell it for a lot of money. It's been gone for 50 minutes. And we're like, what about the police? And he says, hey, look, I would rather try and find this without the police. It'll hit like national news immediately, and it will bring a lot of dishonor to my family and to the tea ceremony school. So I would much rather get this done without the help of police. And he wants our help. And so what we have to decide is to help Takashi or to really press to get the police. So if we tell Takashi that it's always important to deal with the police on a case like this, we turn to page 9. If we want more information about the four guests and the tea ceremony Takashi planned to perform, turn to page 11. Feel like I want to know more about this thing. I feel like that's important.
Yeah. Well, I think we know a lot about the bowl.
It's true, but we don't know anything about the guests and the tea ceremony that it was supposed to be performed at.
We don't know who was there and who's coming and who's on the grounds and like...
Right. Obviously, this tea bowl's been there for a long time.
Clearly.
So now the person has chosen to stole it. Maybe these four distinguished guests have something to do with that.
That's true. But do we feel like we need to call the cops? Here's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
You and I are asking all these important questions.
Right.
Because we know what's up.
We do.
And we know how to solve a mystery.
We totes do.
I have not spent the last 12 years of my life watching CSI and CSI Miami.
And Scooby-Doo.
And CSI New York. And Criminal Minds. And CSI Cyber.
And Scooby-Doo.
And Scooby-Doo. To, like, not know how to solve a crime.
Darn tootin'.
You know what I mean?
So wait, are you saying that that's why we shouldn't call in the police?
What we need to do is get some fibers and run it through the gastromass spectrometer.
Oh, well, everyone has one of those.
Exactly who does things.
Actually, wait, don't we have a pocket gastroinflexometer?
Probably. It's Japan. Everything, they're crazy with the tech over there.
Oh, true. We probably have two.
Probably. One for each pocket.
Yeah, and they transform into toys. Or like cars, you know, like a transformed spectrometer.
That's yeah.
That was a word. All right.
That was a word. So that's, I mean.
Okay, wait. So I'm confused. Do you want to call the police? Do you not want to call the police?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, that's kind of where I thought, but I feel like that's a very roundabout way to get there.
I'm just saying I have a lot of mystery solving knowledge within me.
Right.
We can handle this.
Right. And like every good detective, like Sherlock Holmes, we want to keep Lestrade out of our way.
They're only going to get in our way.
Was that's his name, right?
Maybe. And yeah.
Chief Inspector Lestrade.
That sounds.
Yeah. Right. That's so right.
Okay.
Well, then we're on the same page.
Yeah, I think we should solve this mystery.
We're on the same page, and that page is 11.
Nice.
Yeah. See what I did there?
Transition.
Yeah. Thanks. Do 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 do.
Boop, ba-doop.
Oh. Okay.
This is
unprecedented.
This is a Cherick first.
This is insane, my friend. This is insane.
I don't know how we're gonna do this.
There's no logical way to go about this. But first, let's go back. Chad, what have our listeners missed?
Okay, so I'm super proud of Cherick, the, like, master detective.
Master detective.
Because he is asking all the questions we were just asking, debating on whether we should take this mystery or not. Right.
Yeah.
So he's like, who are the people? Where did they come from? Like, what do you know about them? What's a tea ceremony? What do you do there?
Why is it important? And Takashi is full of so much information.
He is a wealth of information.
Yes. No wonder he's like one of the best tea students.
Okay, so we got four people at this tea ceremony previously established. Here are their names. Taro Sakamoto, Shoji Hara, Nariko Oda, and Hiro Narita.
Naturally.
So, the first guy, Taro Sakamoto is running to be prime minister.
Right. So he's a big deal.
He's a big deal. Prime minister of Japan. His rival is Hiro Narita, who is blocking him basically from being prime minister.
Okay.
It's the only thing in his way. Nariko Oda is, she's a lady, and she's a gem trader, and she is a friend of one of those guys, and so she's trying to, like, get this group together to, as us Americans say, bury the hatchet.
So well put, Chad.
You're welcome. That was my American accent.
bury the hatchet.
Bury the hatchet.
I'm gonna bury it.
Bury it real deep.
Never gonna find it again.
Dirt.
It's gonna rot. It's gonna rot before you find it. dirt.
Okay, and then the last guy, Shoji Hara, is from the Ministry of Arts. So we said these tea bowl and stuff is like a national treasure. So Mrs. Oda invited him to come along. Since they were using all the, like, really fancy stuff, and he was gonna, like, inspect it while he was here.
Okay.
So those are the people. That's the players. The suspects.
Okay.
At this point, if you will. We have these four guys.
I will.
Taro, Shoji, Nariko, and Hiro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our friend Kenichi and Takashi.
So our task is...
So, yeah, and we ask them other things that, if they're important, we'll tell you. But we, like, ask a lot about what a tea ceremony is and, like, why it's important. And, like, I feel like a key piece is, like, we're like, hey, these are, like, it's like a prime minister, dude. Like, how come you, like, Kenichi, no, what's the guy's, Takashi, why are you, shouldn't somebody more important than you be doing this? And Mrs. Oda said...
Yeah.
She suggested to Kenichi's teacher, whose name was Kitamuki Sensei,
Takashi's teacher,
that, like, one of... She's, like, a big supporter of the school. She's like, just give me one of your, like, best, most talented pupils.
Hence, Takashi.
Fishy.
Oh, okay. But
maybe.
But he said that she's always been a big supporter of the school.
Big supporter of the school.
And of the young people learning about tea.
Sure.
See, I think personally already this art dude, he's a little suspicious for me.
Okay, but here's like the choice as
presented to us. Wait, okay. So how does it start? We think that we're
stroking our chin. We're learning, you know, we're like,
after asking all these questions, what's the best way?
And you're like, I think I would like to talk to each of these guests individually.
And so
we have our first four-way choice.
Quadruple choice, people.
Yep. And if we want to talk to Taro Sakamoto, we turn to 14. Shoji Hara, turn to 8. Nariko Oda, 26, and Hiro Narita, Mr. Sakamoto's rival. We turn to page 20.
I mean, what? Like, I just, like, This is just insane.
Do you have any inkling of an idea?
I mean, I told you
who you want to talk to first.
The art guy perhaps seems the most seems the most helpful and perhaps most interesting to me.
So he would know most about the bowl.
Right.
The lady, Mrs. Oda, I think she would know most about the school.
Definitely. But I feel like she would also maybe freak out if she knew a bowl was gone.
Maybe. Now, the hero, the rival, he seems the most suspicious.
You think?
To me, right now.
Well, what would a missing tea bowl have to do with him beating
it? It would cast shame upon this tea ceremony that, like, the prime minister was at, you know? Like, there's a lot of tradition and honor, like, caught up into this, right?
Okay.
Like, the prime minister invited him here to, like... And then he insulted him, and you know what I mean, by using like lesser teaware than his station provides.
Rude.
And you know, I think the prime minister, he'd probably be good to talk to if anybody's out to destroy somebody. Somebody's out to destroy him.
I agree with that.
So like, who are his enemies? You know what I mean.
So really, we could go anyway.
So do we want to know more about like, presumably maybe the victim? Like our lead suspect? Do we want to know more about the bowl? Or do we want to know more about the school? I feel like that's the choice. What kind of information do we need most first?
Not the bowl.
I feel like we know a lot about
the bowl. We know a lot about the bowl. We don't need to know more about
the bowl. And I don't feel like we want to alert the art guy to the fact that it's missing. He will like raise every alarm.
I suppose that's true. I thought perhaps that in the interest of art and safety, he would want to keep it under wraps, but I think the latter is incorrect.
I think he would call the cops right. For sure. You're
absolutely right. So,
step one, call the cops.
I think maybe the prime minister.
You want to talk to the prime minister first?
Maybe we should start with him. How do you feel?
I think he would be good. The only other person I would maybe want to talk to, and I know you had some reservations, was the lady... who knows the most about the school.
Because
if we know more about the grounds, we might know more about how this person could get in and out, or if there's like a...
True, but if anyone would know that, it would be Takashi, because he's at the school all the time.
That's true. And he's a mischievous youngster.
Yeah. I feel like she wouldn't really be able to tell us much about the grounds of the school.
Okay. That would be my only inkling to like talk to her.
So did that inkling just die?
Maybe a little bit. I think you kind of squashed it.
I kind of murdered that.
Yeah.
Then I think that we should go with the prime minister.
I think this is why this book has 23 endings.
I think this has a lot to do with that, and I think I'm a little terrified right now.
So terrified that you don't want to read?
A little bit. You should totally keep going.
Okay, I got it. We're turning to page 14. We're going to talk to the prime minister.
Okay, here we go. It's happening. And back to square one.
Well, no, like square two.
Okay, square two.
Okay, great. So we went to the prime minister. They're like, he left at like 9:45, which might be an important... So this tea ceremony is supposed to start at 10:30.
Right.
As of 9:45, this guy's like on his own.
He's gone.
Okay?
Yeah.
Important piece of mystery crime
solving. So we did learn stuff.
We learned something. Stuff. We learned a fact. But he won't be home... Back to his hotel.
Till 1:30.
Until 1:30.
Yeah.
So he has this good, like, 3 hours where nobody knows where he is. So basically we're like, she's like, do you want to leave a message? We're like, nope. Thanks. We'll come back later. And now the choice is, like, which one of the other three people do we want to go talk to next?
In the meantime...
So we're back to the Minister of Arts... The gem dealer, Mrs. Oda. Oh, who has, like, a shady son.
Yeah.
He was, like, into bad stuff. Gambling, drinking.
Yeah. All the bad stuff.
And the prime minister's rival.
Darn vices.
Hiro Narita.
When I hear Hiro Narita, I want to hear Ita Dorito. that make any sense?
It does. I don't understand how that's relevant to our choice.
It's not really, but I just kind of want to eat a Dorito.
I don't have any.
Okay. Well, then instead of eating a Dorito, I say we go meet with Hiro Hatarito.
Shoji Hata?
What?
No, Hiro Narita?
Yeah.
The rival?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my vote.
Yeah.
Let's go check out this rival guy.
I don't feel like we want to alert, like, the Minister of Arts. I feel like that is, like, my last choice.
Okay. All right.
I still feel like the lady could give us some valuable information. That's you. That was a loud one.
Yeah, I apologize. Oh, the microphone. Nope, it's all right. Never mind. It's fine. Didn't get any snot anywhere. We're good. Okay, so the lady or the rival? The gem dealer or
the Hiro. Gem dealer or the rival. Yeah. Hiro or Noriko?
Noriko?
Noriko. I think that we should talk to the lady first.
You want to talk to the lady first?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk to the lady.
I think that was always my, like,
choice. Okay. Heard. Well,
on the four.
We went with my A choice. Let's go with your B choice.
Okay. Turning to page 26.
Seems like a very reasonable thing to do. Look at us being all civilized.
I hope it turns out well.
Yeah, sometimes me too.
My choices don't.
Well, that's all right. Sometimes mine don't either.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go!
This is a real thinker. This is a head scratcher.
This is getting pretty good.
Like, this is getting pretty good. I feel like I need to get, like, a pen and paper and, like, keep track of all these
actual detective style. Yeah.
No, like, I need, like, a notebook and, like, a hat.
This deserves it. We should be wearing hats right now.
Okay.
We really screwed this up. It's all right. It's all right. So, we went to Mrs. Oda's. And the servant greets us at the door. And leads us into a room. And we're like, wow. We knew that Mrs. Oda was rich, but not this rich.
Damn.
Like, she is rolling in it. Also, there's a pile of bloody meat by a pond in her garden. Mm-mm-mm. Where apparently she owns some pet piranhas.
Mm-mm.
And Chad and I both had the same reaction to this. We were like, oh, no. Hell no.
Nope.
Oh, God, that's going to be bad later.
I already got eaten by crocodiles once.
Yeah, yeah, we made that mistake before.
Don't dive in that pond. Note to self.
But thankfully, we missed the pond, and we head over into a room where the servant leaves us, and Mrs. Oda steps in very, very quickly. And she's like, oh, Takashi, so nice to see you. What a pleasant surprise. I hope you've brought news of the tea bowl that's missing. And this was news to Chad and I. Like, we were both like, wait a second.
I don't feel like anybody told her.
How did
about
she
it.
Know this already? Like, Takashi never mentioned that she knows.
That's true.
Like, I feel like that's a pretty important piece to leave out of telling someone. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's peculiar none to say. But not the most peculiar thing that happened. So she's going on and on about this, like,
she's like,
about this, like,
yeah.
tea room that she has.
Yes,
she
come check out this tea room, have tea with me.
And blah, 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 and
it's
had it moved
built,
brick by brick.
It's so ancient. And then
the phone rings.
And
ring,
she
ring,
leaves.
Ring.
She goes away, and she comes back in about 10 minutes, but now her demeanor has completely changed. Now she's laughing icily and saying, oh, something really important has come up. You must leave. I'm so sorry. Another time. And, you know, not wanting to be impolite, we say, of course. And we bow and we leave. And then as we're out there, Kenichi's like, man, she went from hot to cold.
Like, that was peculiar.
That was really strange. Wonder what that phone call was all about. And we're like, yeah, something was definitely suspicious. I'd like to know more about her. So Takashi's like, hey, I have a friend who works for her gym business. Maybe we could go ask him and we could learn some things. And then Kenichi's like, well, wait a second. I feel like we should hang out and see where Mrs. Oda goes. Then we can watch her. So if we decide to interview Takashi's friend, we turn to page 42. And if we decide to keep watch at Mrs. Oda's to see if she goes anywhere, we turn to page 39. There's a lot of me that feels like staking out.
Yeah!
You feel the same.
Stake out!
Okay.
Stake out! Stake out! Stake out!
I feel like the last thing we need to do is go ask someone else besides the four people that we're asking questions about.
How much is he going to know? Okay, so you work for a stinking rich ladies' gym. Okay? You're like wiping down the equipment, folding. How much do you know about this owner lady
More
money?
No. It's not a gym. It's a gym. It's a gym business. GEM.
Oh.
Like,
I thought it was like Planet Fitness.
No, she's not a millionaire off of Planet Fitness equipment. She's a millionaire because she's in the gem business.
She
deals with sparkly diamonds and rubies and gems.
I thought she maybe diversified in like multiple types of businesses.
All gems? I have gems, but I also have gems.
Yeah, gems and gems. That's the name of her company.
Well, maybe. I mean, but I think the one that they're talking about is the gym business. Spelled with an E, not with a Y. It's a subtle difference.
Jewelry.
Subtle difference. Yes. Jeweler. Yes, exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
This whole time I thought we were talking about, you know.
I was like, where's like Chad going? What is he talking about? Jim? Oh my God. I think they referred to her as a jeweler before, so I think you just like missed that detail somehow.
I knew she bought and sold gems.
Oh, but you also thought
you
really
owned
also
a gym.
Oh, interesting. Well,
like she's rich, like she can do more than one thing,
right?
It's not out of the realm of possibilities.
With her gym business, she opened a gym business.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, enough about these.
So he works for her
gem business.
Jewelry business.
Yes.
Oh, well, he might know more.
So he would probably know some. You know, I mean, we could probably get some good information out of him. But I feel like we've been just trying to ask people questions now for like three questions.
Something very peculiar, like, just happened.
It could be really exciting to follow her and see where she goes.
Yeah, I think that something's about to go down.
Yeah. Could get real. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're going to stake out.
We're going to go to 39.
Let's go get some snacks in a van.
Snickety snacks! Wowzers.
Yeah.
This is one hell of a choice.
True story. First off, you should know that we are now wearing hats.
Yes, Chad went in to a magical room and has returned with two phantasmagorical hats.
We are detectives.
We
man.
Are hardcore hat wearing detectives.
Totally.
And we're feeling fancy. So,
okay.
Chad, catch us up.
Okay, so we were scouting out Mrs. Oda, right?
Yeah.
Classic stakeout. So we like go down the street where she can't really see us, and then we see her servants like open a gate and like pull her car around. And she comes out wearing a blue suit and whispers something to the driver and, like, gets in the back and they take off. And we're like, Kenichi, go to the main street, get a cab, come back here. We're going to watch and see where she goes. And, you know.
Hey, Chad, what was that main street called?
It was called Horikawa Street.
Nice.
Thanks.
Crushed it, dude.
Crushed it. Totally stumbled over that 10 times.
It was, but I mean, you nailed it for the actual podcast, so.
Yep.
Kudos.
Not saying it again.
All right, so we jump in the cab.
Fast forward. Okay, she goes to her gem shop.
Okay, so we follow them to her gem shop.
Yeah, Oda Gems.
Oda Gems.
Not gyms.
Yeah, gems.
Gems.
Gems. Gems jewelries.
Yeah, Oda Gems.
Yeah.
And she, like, pulls up in an alley. Like goes in a side entrance into her shop and we're like, you guys, I got a killer idea. Here's what I'm going to do. While she's in there, I'm going to get in her trunk of the car and then wherever she goes, then I'll go
naturally
and then I'll know what she's up to.
Yeah.
And Kenichi and Takashi are like, say what? They're like, that sounds like pretty risky to me. Like if she catches you, you are done for, man. You're done.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're like, we think we should just like wait and like see what happens, dude.
Yeah.
But that's the choice. If we decide to wait, we turn to page 51. And if we tell Takashi that we'll be safe and we get into the trunk quickly before Mrs. Oda returns, we turn to page 52. Here is what I think.
Chat.
When I so want to get in that trunk so much.
Really?
Kind of.
Okay.
Also, the car has a driver. Like, the book doesn't say anything about, you know, a drive. I'm pretty sure.
Like, she's not driving the car.
Yeah, she says something to... Okay. She says something to an old man, and then she got in the driver's seat. I thought she had a driver. She was driving the car.
So the car is empty.
The car is empty. Because if there was, like, a chauffeur in the car...
Yeah, totally stupid decision.
Totally stupid decision. But the car's empty.
Here's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Car's empty. Still a totally stupid decision.
Wouldn't be the first totally stupid decision we made.
Okay, hear me out. I'm going to get a little personal here, Chad.
Okay,
Chad. This is not a Cherokee history. This is not a time that he time traveled and then experienced this. This is a straight up Eric tale.
Okay.
I have been locked in a trunk before. I did it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, I didn't have abusive parents or anything like that.
Right.
Very stupidly decided that I was going to see if I could get myself out of a trunk.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it didn't go well. And trunks are scary and small and locked, Chad. We get in this trunk, how are we going to get out, man? That's all I'm asking. How are we going to get out of this trunk once we're in
there? Through the back seat.
Okay, well, that is a viable option. Not every car has that.
This is like a new Toyota. Like,
okay, all right, yeah. But like, when was the last time you were in a car that had back seats that folded down into the trunk?
This morning.
Your car does that?
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch. Well, okay, look, that didn't help my point. My point is, I feel like it's totally irresponsible and absolutely ridiculous for us to get in the trunk when we can just watch her and keep taking taxis wherever she goes.
Okay.
I don't see the benefit.
I just feel like, I don't know, it's like sneakier and sleuthier, but also somewhat reckless.
First of all, we're being reckless because we're leaving our other teammates behind.
Yeah, or we could send them to go talk to the other people.
But that's not what we're doing. We didn't say that. We said we're gonna go run and get in this trunk. Well, this is a split moment. No, what am I trying to say? We have to do this right now.
Split second decision.
Yeah, not split moment. That's stupid. who says split moment?
It's a split moment.
Something split. It's really snappy and it's super fast.
Moment.
We only have half a second, man.
A split in time.
We don't have enough time to say, quick, go turn to the people. We're going to go jump in the back of this truck so we can do this. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we don't got time to do that. We just got to say, hey, I'm going to do this or I'm going to not.
Okay.
And I really feel like maybe we should not. I know it's less exciting. It would
be super responsible of us.
Yeah. You know how that always goes pretty well?
It does go well, but it's kind of like I want to touch the thing, you know?
You do want to touch the thing. You really do. See, a trunk is not appetizing to me at all. I will touch shiny objects all day, but I'm not voluntarily getting in the trunks anymore. I learned my lesson on that one. All right,
well, take care. Hey, you know, you had an experience, and that's part of who you are. And we'll take it into advisement, and we'll just wait and see what happens.
I really appreciate you not making me get into that trunk.
Not a problem.
That really means a lot to me, Chad.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. I'll keep reading.
Okay, heard.
Well, Eric?
You know what? Okay, first of all, I did not realize how much of a dumbass we were going to be if we did not get in that trunk. Like, I didn't realize our decision was get in a trunk or be a fucking idiot. I didn't understand that was our decision here. I misunderstood because, good God, Chad, tell them. I can't.
Okay, so we're like, hey, that's cool, guys. We'll just keep the party together. You know, we're not going to split the party. And we see her come out, and she's got her, like, purse, and it's got something, like, big and heavy in it, and she's kind of got it grasped, you know, holding onto it. And we're like, I bet it's the T-Bowl! And we, like, run out in the street straight at her. And we're like, stop! And she looks surprised, and then she just clocks us, just like, right hook.
Womps us with her bag.
Bam, pow. Straight, you know, we're on the ground.
It's like that slow motion wide shot of you just like flying backwards through the air with your legs kicking up and your head falling back and your arms are at your side, and then your skull cracks on the cement as your body falls limp.
Yep.
That was what happened to us.
That's what happened. And then Kenichi and Takashi, you know, they're like worried about us. And,
yeah, they don't even pay attention to...
And she drives away, yeah. Quote, tossing an evil and triumphant grin in your direction. The end.
Do you see what I mean now, listeners? Do you see what I mean? We are the most amateur detective that I have ever known us to be. Because I cannot believe we just saw a lump in a bag and ran at it. Like, if that is not... Oh, my God. Let's just... You know what? Before we talk any more about this, let's just get in that trunk, okay?
Okay.
That was embarrassing.
Here, but here's really what stupid. I'm going to do for you. I've been reading for a little bit, but I don't want you to live that trauma of, like, being in the trunk. Like, I don't want you to have to read that.
Oh, so you're going to read it for me?
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me read it.
Okay, heard.
And you experience it.
All right.
And then I'm totally handing the book back to you. So we're going to turn to page 52 and jump in that trunk.
Okay. I can do this.
You can do it.
I can jump in that trunk.
Yep.
Here we go. Okay.
First off, I think Eric was happy. We were smart enough not to let the trunk completely shut.
Very careful to keep it open.
Yes.
Which...
Did not catch.
Yeah. I should have trusted us more in the first place.
We're smart.
We are.
So, we're in the trunk. She comes out, gets in the car, starts it. We're like, Kenichi, Takashi, if we're not back at the tea house by 5, call the cops. You know, and we jump in the trunk. She comes out, gets in the car, we're gone. We're heading out of Kyoto, out of town. We take the exit for this lake.
It's been like an hour.
An
hour later, she turns off.
Yeah, so we take the exit for this lake, and then she, like, pulls up this road and, like, through a gate. This
fancy gate.
And into this, like, property, and we can kind of see, because we're, like, kind of sneaking a peek at the back of the trunk this whole time. So we can't see a lot, we can see a little.
The slim crack through the trunk gate.
Yeah, and we hear, you know, she gets out of the car. We hear a lot of people, and we can tell by, like, the crunching of gravel under their feet and, like, muffled voices.
Yeah, a lot of murmuring.
And then they walk away, and it's dead silent. Just like that. Wasn't that so, like, 4 seconds of silence right there. It's gotta be super awkward. Okay, so if we get out of the trunk and take a look around, we turn to page 69. If we, like, stay put for, like, a couple minutes to make sure the coast is super really clear, we turn to page 62.
Gut instinct.
Yep.
We need to get out of that trunk.
Okay.
I feel like it's quiet. Now is an opportune moment. I also feel like, for some reason, there's a good chance whenever they come out of this place that they will be putting something in the trunk. And we will be discovered if we stay in there too long.
Like a big wad of cash.
Like a bit, or a dead body.
Or our dead body.
Or exactly. Yes. Or a giant gong. For instance.
Yeah, that entirely possible.
Definitely a feasible thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what she's up to.
None. Or gems.
Or briefcase full of gems.
Trading this bowl for a load of gems.
Kind of like a, yeah.
Or her kid, who's gotten into some trouble and she has to trade the bowl for his life.
Oh my god.
I just cracked this case.
This is a kidnapping. Or no, it's blackmail.
Both?
Or neither. We better make a decision here.
Cherrick, boy detective, hot on the trail.
Thinking in the trunk.
I think we need to get out of this trunk.
I feel like we should at least.
If they like come back, like I just really feel like we're super screwed.
I agree. We need to get out while we can.
Like now's the time.
Now is the opportune moment.
Like there's a chance that like somebody is like being super silent, still like standing guard.
Totally. But they could be looking in a different direction.
Also true.
Or we could be able to like silence them super quickly without arousing any suspicion.
Choke hold them.
Yeah.
Maybe we're
like,
ninja.
Like we know how to do.
We've done it.
Yeah. I'm sure that we've done something like that in school or something.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. Let's get out of this
so
trunk.
So we're getting out of the car. Yep. Here you go, Eric.
Oh my God, Chad. We have done it, my friend. We have got ourselves in the middle of this mystery.
A caper, if you will.
Oh, a caper of intense magnitude, my friend, and yes! We are in the thick of it.
This is terribly
exciting. Okay, we're going to catch you up here because this is intense. We open the trunk a crack, right? Just peering out, checking to make sure the coast is clear. And you know what? It is. So we jump to the bushes, and we start sneaking around the large, elegant house, right?
Yeah.
So we come across this window that's open, and we hear some voices inside, and so we decide to kind of stop and see if we can hear anything. And that's when two shots ring out from the room so close to us that our ears ring.
Like that. Yeah,
so our ears are ringing. We're like, WTF, what the... oh my gosh, we hear something hit the floor. And then we hear a very ominous voice say, that was good. That was good.
I'm trying to add some.
Yeah, the thump, crash.
Thump, crash.
Help me take her away. An invisible man orders. Now, I don't think that he's actually invisible.
I just think that we can't see.
I don't think he's actually
invisible either.
Just feel like there could have been a better way to phrase that. Anyway, so we peek over the window ledge and we see Mrs. Oda's plump body being dragged away. Clearly, she's been shot. No, Chad, we're not a cat scratching at a door to be fed. I don't know if anybody could hear that, but it was more of a dragging sound and less of a scratching.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, all right. So the two men are wearing dark suits and sunglasses, you know, kind of like those from The Matrix. And the room is empty, except for a small, white, ceramic bowl sitting next to its box on a low table. We found the Shino piece. We found the tea bowl.
We got it. We found it.
It is us.
We're the best.
We are the best. And so without thinking of the danger we're in, we dash through the window, grab the piece, and dive back out.
Outsies.
And we're out of there. 10 minutes later, we're headed over a fence. We like went through the woods, climbed over a fence that surrounds the property. And as we hit the ground, we hear the barking of an attack dog coming toward us. So, that's on point, Chad. And there are some dudes after us. We scramble up the road.
Hey, Chad, stop! Get out of there!
We run across, almost getting hit by a trunk. Yeah. But we miss the truck, and we dash up ahead, our breath coming in gasps. We stumble, and someone shouts, "Stop that kid!" We look back out and we see them climbing over the fence after us, and we're like, "Ah, shit!" A crowded bus slows to a stop right next to us. The driver must be thinking that we're looking for a ride. At the same time, up ahead of the train station, a train pulls in marked Kyoto, which is where we came from, and it's 100 yards away. And now we have to choose to get on the bus that's right in front of us and turn to page 117 or make a dash for the train 100 yards away.
A football field.
And turn to page 119.
This is an intense decision.
This is it, Chad. This is like we make one false decision and we're caught.
Yeah. I feel like one of these leads to our success in returning the bowl. And one of these leads to us getting caught. I'm leaning train.
I feel like the train also. It may be farther away, but it's going to be straight back to where.
Exactly. Like, they can't get us.
Exactly.
Here's my word of caution on the train. If they also get on it,
Then we're screwed. Something else. We are 100 yards away and it has just pulled in. Will we make it in time? If we miss that train, we're screwed.
How long do trains... Our town doesn't have many trains.
We don't.
So when a train stops, how long does it normally stay before it goes again?
Can we use our phone a friend right now?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. These are all very important things. The bus is right there to pick us up.
It stays, we can get right on at it. At least 2 minutes.
I would agree with that. But we're already out of breath.
So in 2 minutes, we have to run a football field. So in 2 minutes, we have to run a 100-yard dash. People can do that in 10 seconds.
Okay. But we're not those people right now.
But I feel like we can run a 100-yard dash in a minute.
We also have to buy a train ticket.
Do we?
You just want to get on?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's definitely a viable option, I suppose.
Like, I just want to jump the turnstile right on the train.
Okay.
Like, all dire right. Okay. Time. Okay. Like, hurt. We'll pay for when we get
right.
on there.
All right. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah. I'm not going to,
just get on the train.
Buy a ticket.
All right. I see now how absurd that sounds.
And sometimes you, buy the ticket from the conductor on the train.
Okay. All right.
I don't know how it works in Japan.
I don't either.
You know, but a lot of times there's the guy, Ticket!
Can I punch your ticket?
Yeah, the conductor guy.
Punch your ticket. Well, should we try it?
Yeah, because here's my other thing with the bus. Like, they could, shoot out the tires.
And it's pretty
slow.
It's going
to move a lot slower.
Yeah, it's going to move pretty slow.
Like, they could just go get their car and, totally catch up to us.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Unless we hijack the bus.
Who are we? You like Keanu Reeves in the speed?
I was thinking more like Liam Neeson, maybe, but Keanu is more appropriate to the situation.
Because it's a bus.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Full of tourists. This is like the plot of Speed.
What if they'd put a bomb on it because they knew we were going to get on that bus?
No, they did not put a bomb on it.
Okay. Well, then I think that we should get on the train.
I do feel like the train is the, safer...
It's headed straight for Kyoto.
I'm just feeling like it's also kind of the more obvious choice.
See, I feel like the obvious choice is the bus right in front of us.
Okay.
I feel like that's the more
obvious
choice.
Maybe that's just because we're super smart.
Maybe. Or maybe it's because this is an extra tricky choice.
It is extra tricky, but I think the train is the right choice.
Okay.
Because once we're on that thing, here's how I anticipate this going. We're going to run as fast as we can. They're behind us. They're further away. Right? And we're going to run as fast as we can. We're going to jump the turnstile. We're going to get on the train just as the doors close. We're going to make it back to Kyoto. We've been gone so long that Kenichi and Takashi have already called the cops. We're going to show up with the bull. Day saved. We win.
You heard it, folks. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Prediction.
Here we go.
Totally called it. We don't even need to do a summary.
We don't.
Because I just told you what the fuck just happened.
That's absolutely true.
Before we read it.
That's 100% true. Literally, the book was verbatim. We got to the train station. They had just caught up. And we jumped onto the train just as the door slid shut. They banged on the train. The conductor ignored them. And we pulled away from the station. We made it back to Kyoto in an hour. We got to the T-yard school place. Where Takashi and Kenichi are already talking to the police. We hang out. We're like, hey, we got the ball. We come in. Everybody's super excited. And then everything turned out the way Chad had envisioned, except a man inspects the bowl and says that it's a fake.
It's a freaking fake.
We didn't find the actual bowl. And Takashi says, well, what do we do now? Start from the beginning? And we say, sure. And at least now we have one less suspect because Mrs. Oda's dead. And now she died for nothing, man.
She thought she had the real bowl.
And she died for it. Greed. This is a tale of greed, my friend.
This is peculiar. Like, she knows that bowl. Like, she must be a pretty good fake.
He did say it was.
Oh, okay.
I think he actually, like, explained that it was a really good fake. A good copy. Okay. A good copy, but not the real thing. It's not really a happy ending.
I think it is.
I mean, we successfully could have had the bowl. Like, had it been the real one, we acted admirably in every situation.
Definitely. We didn't die?
We did not. No.
Once? Well, we were just knocked out.
I mean, potentially we could see what would have happened if we got on the bus.
I don't feel like that's gonna go well.
I mean, me either.
No, I think they just catch us.
Yeah, but that sounds entertaining.
And my skills of perception are incredibly high.
All right. Well, we can end on this note. It's a solid one. And then I was just throwing it out there as a possibility.
Well, hey, you remember when we used that extra respawn a couple podcasts ago?
The super respawn.
So we won't use our second one this time to like even out like the karma of the universe.
Okay, that makes total sense. The karma of the universe.
So our total respawns for 10 podcasts have not exceeded 20.
The balance of the force has returned.
That'd be interesting. Like, if we only use one in one podcast, that we get an extra.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I feel like those are complicated rules, Chad. It's
complicated rules. So I'm a complicated guy.
It's a complicated life. Okay, well.
No, I think we call it here.
That was
pretty successful.
Yeah, that was a wonderful, wonderful adventure.
I loved it.
For sure. I was on the edge of my seat by the last part.
And we got to wear hats?
We did. Actually, like, I'm meaning to tell you that you look pretty darn good over there.
Thanks.
Like, I really feel like we're the character,
hat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wearing a fedora, and Eric's wearing kind of like a bowler hat. Yeah, yeah. So.
It really works. I can't see myself, but, I mean, it works for Chad, so.
All right. Well, it's been fun.
I liked this episode
book.
10. Thought
Cup
it was pretty
death,
great.
Like, less death than I anticipated.
For sure. But we only read 2 of the 23 endings.
But more fun, I think, than I thought it might be.
I think so. I think that you were a little hesitant about it at first.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we ended up choosing it. That was quite an adventure.
That was an adventure. I like it.
Yeah, that was solid. So, well, we enjoyed it. Hopefully you did too. Once again, thanks for listening. We didn't talk about any of that stuff earlier about, you know, all that Facebook and...
Yeah, and, you know, so if you can, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Cherrick Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, @Cherrick Podcast.
What do we call it? Plug it.
Yeah, we're going to plug it.
We're plugging it.
We're plugging it, totally. And rate, review on iTunes. So we actually took a look at the stats today, and we joked about it mid-pod, but we actually have some listeners in Germany and Japan.
We are legitimately international.
Taken off across the U.S. So.
I thought Chad was joking with me when he said that we had listeners in Germany and Japan. I thought he was being facetious, and then he sent me a picture of it actually saying that we had listeners in Germany and Japan,
so
and I was
stoked.
Like, my jaw just dropped. So
shout out to our European and Asian-based listeners.
Thanks for listening.
And all y'all in the U.S. too, we love you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
10 podcasts in.
And you know what? We're going strong, man.
We're killing it.
Keep on rocking, Cherrick.
Death.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Eric.
I'm Chad.
And we'll catch you later as Cherrick.